long list of Saudi war crimes in Yemen. The Saudi-led war on Yemen has now gone on for more than 42 months. The so-called Arabian coalition that the Saudis had assembled to subdue Yemen has all but melted away, with the exception of the United Arab Emirates, UAE. Sudan and Jordan abandoned the war and have slunk away. Others, such as Pakistan and Egypt, had more sense not to get involved at all. The Saudis are now relying increasingly on the US and Britain for air refueling, target selection and logistical support. They have also turned to mercenaries from South America and Africa to prosecute the ground war. There are mercenaries from Colombia and Senegal, as well as Blackwater operatives. Additionally, the Saudis are relying increasingly on Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula to help them fight the Ansarullah fighters. After 3.5 years of a relentless bombing campaign, the Saudis are nowhere near achieving any of their military or political objectives. The war has exposed Saudi incompetence on a grand scale, even if they have caused massive civilian casualties and inflicted immense infrastructure damage. Let us first consider what their military and political objectives were. The Saudis launched their war on March 26, 2015. The announcement was made not in Riyadh, but in Washington, D.C. Adel al-Jubeir, who served as Saudi ambassador to the U.S. at the time, made the announcement at the Kingdom's embassy in Washington, D.C. This was a clear signal that the war had America's blessings. The Saudis thought they would easily and quickly crush the Ansarullah fighters who had liberated Sana'a, the Yemeni capital, and reinstall Abdurrabbu Mansur Hadi. He had already fled the capital and sought refuge in Riyadh. Hadi was installed in power after the Saudis forced the former longtime President Ali Abdullah Saleh to resign. Saleh was summoned to Riyadh in February 2012 and ordered by then Saudi King Abdullah to sign a paper confirming his resignation. The Saudis have made a habit of summoning foreign rulers to Riyadh and ordering them to resign. The latest example of this was the Lebanese Prime Minister Saad Hariri, who underwent a similar experience in November 2017, only to reappear in Beirut via France, saying he was withdrawing his resignation. Ali Abdullah Saleh's February 2012 resignation, however, did not improve the situation in Yemen as far as the Saudis are concerned. With the Ansarullah fighters making steady gains against Hadi's forces and taking over Sana'a in 2014, the Saudis were forced to get involved directly. This occurred soon after King Abdullah died and was succeeded by half-brother Salman in January 2015. Salman immediately appointed his young and reckless son Muhammad as war minister and also gave him charge of court affairs. Muhammad bin Salman thought he would establish his credentials as a warrior prince by attacking dirt-poor Yemen, which he thought he would subdue in a matter of weeks, if not sooner. While the old King Salman concentrated more and more power in the hands of his impetuous son, first making him deputy crown prince and then elevating him to the position of crown prince, he also made him in charge of Aramco and the kingdom's overall economic policy. Bin Salman has made a mess of everything. Apart from making grandiose pronouncements, he has achieved little of substance. The economy is not doing too well. Foreign workers have been forced to leave, and the war on Yemen has gone nowhere, even if it has resulted in the killing of thousands of innocent people as well as the starvation of millions of others. It's being called the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. Nearly 80% of Yemen's population is food insecure. Millions are now enduring a famine. The situation has grown even worse since late 2017 when Saudi regime enacted a near-complete blockade on its borders with Yemen, making it nearly impossible for anyone to import food, water, and medical supplies. In addition to the humanitarian crisis, Yemen is facing an environmental catastrophe. Nearly 90% of the country is classified as arid or desert. Water was already scarce, but now with the war raging with no end in sight, what little agriculture the poor country had will no longer be feasible. Here are some grim statistics about Yemen that are the direct result of the Saudi-led war. Since the Saudis and their allies have imposed a tight siege on Yemen preventing food and desperately needed medicines, a cholera epidemic rages in the country that the UN has called the worst epidemic in history. More than 1 million children are affected. On September 18th, the British charity Save the Children said at least 5.2 million Yemeni children faced starvation as a result of Saudi attacks on Hodeidah, the only entry point for food into the country that is not controlled by Saudi allied forces. So far, tens of thousands of Yemenis, mostly civilians, have been killed and several hundred thousand injured. The UN estimates that 22.3 million of Yemen's 24 million people are food deficient and on the verge of starvation. Merit Xel Rolano, UNICEF representative in Yemen, said on September 13th, said that more than 11 million children, or about 80% of the country's population under the age of 18, were facing the threat of food shortages, disease, displacement, and acute lack of access to basic social services. An estimated 1.8 million children are malnourished in the country. Nearly 400,000 of them are severely acute malnourished, and they are fighting for their lives every day, said Ms. Rolano. Frustrated by lack of progress on the military front, the Saudis have resorted to indiscriminate bombing of civilian areas. Factories, hospitals, schools, markets, and homes have been bombed and destroyed. Even funeral processions have not been spared. And in a more recent outrage, on August 9th, the Saudis fired a missile at a school bus, killing 40 children instantly and injuring many others in Yemen's northern Sa'dah province. Most Saudi attacks constitute war crimes, and Bin Salman could be hauled before a war crimes tribunal to face war crime charges one day. As the kingdom's war minister and de facto ruler, he is personally and directly responsible for such crimes. As a result of Saudi war crimes, several European countries have cancelled weapons contracts with the Saudi regime. These include Sweden, Germany, and Norway. They have all said they would not supply weapons to a regime that may be committing war crimes. Still, other major arms suppliers like the US, Britain, and France continue to sell weapons to the Bedouins. Even 2-bit player Canada is in on the act and is supplying $15 billion worth of weapons. The deal was signed by the former conservative regime of Stephen Harper in 2014, but the sunny ways liberal government of Justin Trudeau has not seen fit to cancel the deal despite growing calls within Canada to do so. There have been protests in different cities demanding cancellation of the deal. The most recent one was held on September 8th outside the Toronto constituency office of Foreign Minister Chrystia Freeland. Canadian media outlets have also carried details about the kingdom's gross human rights abuses. So far, Ottawa has not cancelled the arms deal, even though the Bedouins in Riyadh reacted angrily to a tweet from Ms. Freeland that was mildly critical of Saudi mistreatment of female human rights activists. The Bedouins thought they would make an example of Canada, seeing it as a soft target. This was an opportunity for Canada to stand up for its principles, but it failed. Such failure will cost Canada dearly. The Saudis have failed to win the war in Yemen. The regime is facing internal opposition and its economy is rapidly declining. These are signs of an impending collapse. Dear listeners, that was authored by Yusuf Ziaullah, a regular contributor to Crescent International.